아니 지금 삼도 강토도 땅 거야. 그러봐 아니 지금 가서 시원한 시에 잠배양 쓰였다. 아니 지금 다 지식 소화다 배. 누지 배상치 아니 무심한 뭐 상해 시력이 나왔게. 아니 지식도 소화다 배. 어떤 듯이 나가서.
So as usual, we'll spend a couple of minutes as before to meditate on the Manjushri, to visualize him clearly in the space in front of you, and then perform the, as I've explained before, you perform the visualization of the flow of nectar from Manjushri into yourself, and purifying you of all your negativities, obscurations, in particular ignorance, yeah? Then you think that your wisdom is developed. And then also you should also make a heartfelt, single-pointed request to Manjushri.
And
if you are encountering any obstacles in your Dharma learning, your Dharma studies, you can visualize, you know, the flow of nectar from Manjushri. You know, the nectar is in the nature of his wisdom, yeah, but in an aspect of nectar which flows into you, and then it completely eliminates and purifies all those hindrances. Yeah.
독신이다 랑기다 간제 바제담 시송 냠네다 심 세신 리바스다 아빠나 심다 랑시부트베 동아 세신 리바 세틴데시 차송스다 진나랑 신 심기랑 신 외사가 된다 차이서 디디 타송 제지고 미바체 안 심세리점다 세신리 차시 딘데시 차송은 될라다 아니 제지바스 족스서마 땅도나 어디 잡을 친구에 있어래.
So you visualize, you know, that the nectar, which is in the nature of his wisdom, you know, flows into you and purifies you of all your ignorance, all your obscurations, and all the obstacles, you know, to your Dharma learning and practice. And so you think that every single thing is eliminated from your mind, all purified, you know, and then the clear light nature of your mind, you know, your mind, which is the nature of clarity and awareness, you know, that. Due to the purification that is able to shine forth clearly.
Tuxine, that on the Rangi Jug Shabatina, Jesus Jambang Shabatini, that Chabramatoshi, that Chipto Songatoshi, that on the Tibi Makova, Tindesia Nichita, Chitam Yishabata, Mipa Savi, Tibi Chabachimu Yungres, what in the Sumatwa.
So you know, just think that all your obscurations and ignorance, all the obstacles are completely purified, you know, and allowing, you know, this clear light nature of your mind to shine forth to be aware of it, yeah. And then you think that your mind becomes not something different from Manjushri's, you know. Your mind become like his, you know. So it is said in the teachings that the stronger your faith and your belief, you know, that if now in that, you know, then it makes a big difference, yeah, to your own mind,
yeah.
And then if you are able to, you know, the thing, how the nature of Manjushri's mind and the nature of your own mind, you know, how they are inseparable, in that both are devoid or both are empty of existing inherently. So if you are able to reflect on this, you'll be very good as well.
Yeah.
And And if you are also able to bring to mind how Manjushri, the object of your meditation, how yourself, the person who is doing the meditation, and how your mind, how these three are empty of existing inherently here, you'll be good as well. So this is similar to what we've discussed in the last lesson here. So as much as possible, you can reflect on these various points. Perhaps you can also, you can reflect on those points that you are more comfortable with. Actually, there are many things one can meditate on, visualize. For example, maybe sometimes while you visualize Manjushri in the space in front of you, then you can visualize that at his heart, in his heart, there's a moon disc. And in the middle of the moon disc is the syllable D, and the syllable D is encircled by the mantra Galan Om Arapatsana D. So sometimes you can just focus on the syllable D at his heart, So this can help in also developing a single-pointedness of mind. So you can focus on the syllable D at his heart, and then the way of visualizing the syllable D is that it's as if your mind is kind of merged with that object, the syllable D. So that these are many things that you can think about. Perhaps you can choose one that you are comfortable with. And you do that for the next couple of minutes.
Don't do all.
Bishin Sriman Guru and Protector Manjushri, who holds this heart as crucial text, symbolic of seeing all things as they are, whose understanding shines forth as the sun unclouded by defilements, all traces of ignorance, who teaches in 60 ways with the patient love of a father for his only son, all creatures caught in the prison of samsara, confused in darkness of the ignorance, overwhelmed by their suffering. You, whose stricken thunder, blocking vision of the Dharma, arouses us from the stupor of our delusions and frees us from the iron chains of our calm, whose powerful sword of wisdom hews down suffering wherever it sprouts up here, clearing away the darkness of all ignorance. I entreat you, O Manjushri, O Rishin body is adorned with the 112 marks of a Buddha, has completed the 10 stages, achieving the highest perfection of a Bodhisattva, who has been pure from the beginning. O Manjushri, O living one with the brilliance of your wisdom, illuminate the darkness enclosing my... Enlighten our intelligence and wisdom so that we may gain insight in the Buddhist words and texts that explain them. Om Aravatana Dinamaragara. So is he booking? So is he
ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ที่ 저당 도마나시 아니 지금 좀래디 일을 체체 좀래디 구순 쪽에 된 체체 대바지 생기 때문에 강제도 지고야라 공부 땡고야도 지치고 있어라.
So usually, you know, before class, we recite a series of prayers. Yeah. So we start off with the praise to Shakyamuni Buddha. When we recite these prayers, it is not just about, you know, uttering them with our mouths, but as we recite the prayers, we should bring the meaning of the prayers to mind. Yeah. Very often, a lot of people don't do that. Yeah, they just utter the words, you know, without really thinking about the meaning. And this has become, like, for some, a habit. You know, so this is a bad habit. When we recite prayers, we have to bring the meaning to mind. So in this case, when we recite the praises to Shakyamuni Buddha, perhaps we can bring to mind the Buddha's holy body speech in mind.
Yeah. Kama chik ni le mena ya ke atuk che la combatting kwa ro wa ti chi shimu sa de sum.
So when we recite in the prayers, you know, in this case, you know, to Shakyamuni Buddha, by thinking about Shakyamuni Buddha, then we should try, you know, to develop a sense of faith, you know, and devotion towards the Buddha. Even though for now we might not be able to sustain the kind of feeling for even 1 or 2 minutes, but as much as possible, you know, we should put an effort, you know, to develop some of those feelings, you know, when we recite the prayers of faith and devotion. So we have to keep this in mind and get into the habit of doing that. Yeah. Okay.
So anyway,
I think that this is very important. Yeah. So I will not say this again. You know, but you know, from you know, whenever we recite prayers, you know, right from the beginning, we have to know, we have to keep in mind, you know, and we should. Put effort into, you know, thinking about the meaning when we are reciting prayers, you know, and put in effort. And in the case of reciting prayers in class, you know, to bring forth, let's say, a faith in the Buddha. Yeah. So we need to get into the habit of thinking about the meaning of prayers as we recite them, and we need to put effort to get into this habit.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think this is important. It seems that it is the case that for most people, yeah, when it comes to reciting prayers, it's just blah blah, you know, just reciting the prayers, but you know. But somehow the mind is not really there. The mind doesn't. There's no feeling in the heart. You know, the mind doesn't move. Yeah. So this is something that we need to rectify. We need to change. Okay.
Oh, today, since I'm talking about today, ma, I need to know that Monday, Tuesday, luxury is not the most important. I need to Monday, Tuesday, come up. I need to run the
So And also when it comes to the mandala offering, a lot of times, you know, again, people just recite and then regard it as something as of a tradition, something that we have to do, that kind of thing, you know. But that's not the point. The point is when doing the mandala offering, you have to bring to mind an object whom you have faith in, and then towards that object, then you present the mandala offering, you know. And you know, in your heart, you visualize all the beautiful offerings and you present it, you know. So if you do it, you know, even in a short period, you know, just in that 1 minute while we're reciting the prayer, you know, you can accumulate so much merit, yeah. So you should bring forth to mind an object to in whom you have faith in, and then offer the mandala with faith and devotion, yeah. We make a single point of request, isn't it? Yeah, to be able to pacify, you know, whatever obstacles one may be facing. Yeah. And of course, in our context here, we're here trying to learn the Buddha Dharma, yeah? So we should make single-pointed, heartfelt requests, you know, for all the obstacles and the hindrances in our Dharma practice and our Dharma learning. You know? May all those obstacles be eliminated,
yeah.
And also that we recite the, you know, the prayer of going for refuge and generating the altruistic intention, yeah. The whole point of the prayer is to shape the motivation, yeah. You know, to generate the motivation, and in this case, you know, to bring forth that the mind of the refuge and the altruistic intention, yeah. So, and we should put effort into being able to, you know, bring, you know, generate, you know, at least some feeling, some of those attitudes, you know, yeah, even within a short period of time, yeah. So even though one may not have a lot of time, but to make sure that during the short period of time when we're doing those prayers, you know, when we're setting the motivation, to make sure that it is done well, you know. Done well, good, and make sure that it is of good quality. Yeah. So even in that short period of time, you know, one should train such that, you know, at least, you know, one have some kind of heartfelt, sincere wish, and, you know, thinking, oh, and you go for refuge, and then, you know, generate the thought, oh, I must achieve enlightenment for the benefit of all. Yeah. So I think it's very important for us to change, you know, this habit, you know, of just merely reciting, you know, into reciting the prayers mindfully, you know, thinking of the meaning. Okay? So we start, you know, we take our first small step, you know, in trying to, yeah, take this first small step in trying to think about those prayers that we recite in class, which are not, it doesn't take a long time, isn't it? Yeah. So to make sure that, you know, we start with these by taking these small steps, okay, to get into the habit of reflecting on the meaning of the prayers as we recite them.
Oh,
So we started the discussion on how to purify our negative karma. Yeah. So in order for us to do a really good practice of purifying our negative karma, an ideal, a perfect practice of purification, would involve a couple of prerequisite understandings. First, we need to have a conviction in the validity of the Buddha, as a valid person, as an infallible refuge. On the basis of that, then one would develop a faith or conviction in whatever he has taught, and in which includes having faith and conviction in the Buddha's explanation on the workings of karma, karma and their results, okay. And as you know, when the Buddha talked about karma in general, he explained that karma is certain, it is definite, and karma increases. And the Buddha explained that we will not experience the results of an action that we did not do. But the Buddha also said that once an action is done, its result will not disappear. It will ripen one day. Yeah. Okay. So based on these are prerequisite understandings, then will we be able to engage in a proper practice of purification.
What in the sin? Tana sin, Kazushuana Shire, Zozo, Parasena, Tomata, Rangi Mikiwa Chabala, that gave a sim, and it's your top chimbushi quieti, Nim Tapan, that got Jessim, Shushimbu quieti, Jessimuchai, that Tindegi Jessim Shushimbu Nuala, Kazushuana Shire, Mikiwa Chixaba in Nayan, that they will meet all. Rawa, they will soon sober. Nami do double do, didn't do Tinde medals from Yonga, Tinde Gizix Tanam Shala, Yishaba Yapo, Shumbaina, that Jessim Simbitin, Java Jesinger, Java Jesse, that Debat Mashana Tamil, Debashagi, Tapta, Nimbo, Kazuana Shire, Debashana, Tabdamina Dua, Nimbo Tokus, or Tinde Tone, Debashai Yuha.
And one of the most important factors in ensuring a proper purification of our negativities is having regret, having this heartfelt regret for having done all those non-virtuous actions in the past. But as we have already discussed in our previous lesson, right? In order to have real regret, heartfelt regret for the non-virtuous actions that we have already done in the past, we first must have a proper understanding of the results of the actions, of the non-virtuous actions that we have already committed in the past. Yeah. And as we have already discussed this, there were many examples now, how just one, any one, a non-virtuous action can have, will have three results, isn't it? Or three effects: the fruitional effect, the causally concordant effect, and the environmental effect. If one has a good understanding of these effects of non-virtuous actions, then we will be able to, you know, really have strong regret from our hearts. Yeah, and when we have this very strong regret from our, and we feel it, then definitely we will think to ourselves that no, I must definitely do something with my negative karma. I must purify it. Yeah, when you have such a heartfelt, sincere wish to purify your negative karma, then naturally you will then look for ways to purify your negative karma. Yeah, you look for the remedies, the antidotes. Yeah, and in the text, in the last session, we looked at the six different methods or antidotes, by which we can purify our negative karma. So there are these six methods, yeah, that are mentioned in the text. Yeah. So we can do any of these to purify our negativities and obscurations. Yeah. Okay. So we can recite or and reflect on the meaning of the profound sutras. We can meditate on the nature, the ultimate nature of reality, emptiness. We can depend on the recitations of different mantras for purification. We can erect representations of the Buddha, different holy objects, making holy objects. We can also make various offerings, and also we can recite the names of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Yeah. So if we do any of these with the intention to purify our negativities and obscurations, so it is said that our negativities and obscurations will be purified. Yeah.
Right. That just some top chip of the demo money, that half part of that does some condes, what in the chair, and as you that, Juna, that nearest Nisu Sajil talks in the mina, that Narchi Tipala Jessim Jet, and in Sajil Dento Vina, and it Tipa Kansha, but the Peggy Marriott, Sunguare, and in half part of that, some Nibadish, and in Bumjik Devina, that Tipa Tavish Choga Nashin Chich, that make what Yapo Yanch. And it's a boom chick there by now, that dictate Tagres, Yonso, Tagres, Sumber, Chesan, Zolamazo, Tamahombala, Toxin, that Duchess and the Gonde, Bumla Sopa, Tang Tibet, Tinder, and also Sumchu Gabwe, or Tinder inside.
Yeah, so we should engage in these purification practices with on the basis of having generated strong regret, yeah, for all the non-virtuous actions that we have already accumulated in the past. Yeah. So here, as you know, there's this purification practice of Vajrasattva, isn't it? Yeah. So on the basis of having strong regret for all the non-virtuous actions that we have accumulated in the past, so if we do the meditation and the recitation practice of Vajrasattva, and let's say if we recite the Vajrasattva mantra 21 times a day, then that alone will, it is said and mentioned in the teachings, that it stops the recitation of 21 the 21 recitations of Vajrasattva mantra 21 times a day stops the negative karma from multiplying, yeah, from increasing, yeah. And in the future, maybe, you know, we should all aspire and work towards the being able to do a retreat, you know, on Vajrasattva, you know. And in this retreat, you know, by doing the practice as according to the tradition that is laid out, you know, and if we sustain well the different visualizations during the retreat, and if we recite the long Vajrasattva mantra 100,000 times, so it is mentioned in the teachings that that all the obscurations, negative karma, can be purified. Yeah, so we should work. Maybe we should aim and work towards that one day. So then the third power is the power of turning away from faults. Essentially, it means restraining, you know, restraining ourselves, you know, from committing non-virtuous actions in the future.
Oh, Tukshimi, that better than so that. Tendeki nyambote, ani tinema, that the chila, that the cochinje, miches, that when a media chew it from the cochinje town in Chigime, Senator, come a chigli menaya, simply tinne, that talks with Chiwashi, Lava Chinje Tedu, the one miche, Yameta, Lava, simply tinne, Tamja Shakwashi, Lava, come a chigli menata, media chulos of Chinje Miche, Yameta, Domsen.
So this power of turning away from faults is actually restraining ourselves from engaging in non-virtuous actions again in the future. Yeah, it's essentially making a pledge, a promise to yourself, you know, that you will not engage in non-virtue again. Yeah. So even if the pledge is just for a minute, you know, but if it is heartfelt, if it is for a minute, you know, but even for the short period of time, you can make a pledge by promising that you will not engage in any of the 10 non-virtuous actions. Yeah. Okay. So basically, it has to be heartfelt. Yeah. So if we, let's say we really, you know, we do make the pledge, you know, if we think, you know, I will not engage in any of the 10 non-virtuous actions, will it become a lie or not?
What did they start to die in your castle? This one was dying, but it. Huh? It's true or lie when you promise that? Are you getting my question?
The point is that the power of turning away from faults refers to having a strong and stable determination, a pledge to not engage in non-virtuous actions. Yeah. Okay. So it is mentioned in the teaching that in order for us to develop a proper power of turning away from faults, we first must have developed well the first power, the power of eradication. Basically, in simple English, in order to be able to really, you know, restrain ourselves from non-virtue again in the future, it all boils down to whether we have a real regret for non-virtue or not. So as I mentioned in the last lesson, you know, I mean, when we, you know, talk about negativities are either those negativities that we have already accumulated in the past, or the negativities that will be accumulated in the future, right? So with the first two powers, the power of eradication, which is essentially having regret, yeah, and the power of applying remedies, the first two powers take care of the negativities that we've already accumulated in the past, right? Then you have the power of turning away from faults, which is basically a restraint from our side, you know, applying this restraint so that we control ourselves to not engage in non-virtue again. You know, this is said to be important because if we have this, then we will not accumulate negativities afresh, right? The fourth power is the power of the foundation, yeah. And this is the fourth power here of our foundation is going for refuge to the three jewels and cultivating the spirit of enlightenment,
bodhicitta.
So this, the power of the foundation here is going for refuge to the three jewels and cultivating the spirit of enlightenment, bodhicitta. So if these two attitudes are generated, you know, well in our minds, that itself purifies the obscurations and the negativities. So in the oral tradition, it is explained that, you know, when we create negative karma, it is either in relation to the three jewels or in relation to sentient beings. You know? So if it is a negative karma, you can probably say that it is subsumed in either one of these. You know, when we create negative karma, it's either in relation to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha or in relation to sentient beings, right? So, if one goes for refuge to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha and he does it well, then we purify the negativities and obscurations that we have accumulated in relation to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha. And by generating love for sentient beings, by developing compassion for them, and in particular, if we are able to develop the altruistic intention to achieve enlightenment for sentient beings, then that itself purifies the obscurations and negativities that we've accumulated in relation to the sentient beings. So next, the text goes on to talk about the way in which, you know, the negativities are purified. Yeah, because when we say negativities are purified, you know, does it mean that they are purified completely, or is it, you know, they are purified partially? You know, so now the text will discuss this. Yeah. Okay, so if you're looking at the root text, it's on page 101, and so I'm going to read from the Lamrim Chemo, that's on page 254. Yeah. So the Buddha spoke in general about a variety of means through which beginners could remove their negativities. Yeah. Okay. However, a complete remedy requires all four powers to be present. The negativities are removed in several ways. One way is when small sufferings occur instead of the great sufferings of rebirth in the miserable realms. Another is that even if you are born in a miserable realm, you do not experience its sufferings. Is there a headache there? Oh, yes. Still, another is that a mere headache in the present life serves to remove the negativity. Likewise, the negativities whose effects you must experience for a long time may become ones whose effects you experience for only a short time, or that you need not experience at all. There is no certainty about how the negativities are removed, because it depends on whether the purifier is of great or little strength, whether the remedy is one in which the four powers are complete or incomplete, intense or not intense, of long and or short duration, and so forth.
What in the shop? 아니 지금 다 다 열어야 말이지 다지 그러봐 내려봐 그래 그래 년이기 내기 다 떤다 내서 말까서 년이기 내기 남이기 저우디 다 떤다 다 덥시 차였거나 샤나 아니 배 다 열어야 말이지 다 뒤에 다 더 많이 있어야
So remember, one of the ways of classifying karma is into karma whose results you will definitely experience, and karma whose results you will possibly experience. Yeah, isn't it? So let's look at the karma whose results you will definitely experience. So. Let's say you've created a karma whose result you will definitely experience. So, is there anything you can do about it? If it's non-virtue, let's say, can it be purified or not?
Right? Ani si siapa ina nyonyi gile ina nami gitu bodi thay yore sata tanda tisungu yore.
In conclusion, the answer is yes. If you purify your negativities through applying the four powers in their entirety, even the karma whose results you will definitely experience. Can be purified. Yeah.
What to say? That young is that young and yabba, Sigdua, do young and yabba, Sigdua, Senate, Kyamanes, that young but topsy, when Mashawina, that Jabudi Yabba, young grass. What on the young and yabba said to the today city, young and yabba's now, that young but topsy, when Mashawina, Jabudi young to, never the young grass. Chitan, that young but topsy, when Shai Yarvison, your ass, what to say in Yabba.
So basically, there's no contradiction in saying that, you know, in saying that the karma whose result you definitely experience can be purified. Although it says karma whose results you will definitely experience, but what it means is that if you don't purify it with the four opponent powers, you will have to experience the result. But if you purify that non-virtue, whose results you will definitely experience, you will purify it through applying the four powers, even that can be purified, and then it means you will not have to experience its effects. Yeah.
But namigate you, Mijimashi, Tanda, Tatanda, Mashubana Shingle, Nambotoshi Sayogone, and Shabaina, that namigate you, Mijimashi, Namigate you, that Nobot Chunu Tai, and namigate you, Zawani Mijimashi, Tatanda, Roa, in a kind lady never saw what is the Sigia, but the Sabun never saw what is Sigia Marina, Sabunata, Nuba Mabashi, Dula Mijimashi, Tatanda.
So, by purifying our negativities through the application of the four powers, you know, the negativity is purified. You know. But what is the meaning of you know, having one's negativity purified? What it means is that through purification, the purification practice weaken the capacity of the karma to bear fruit, yeah, such that it will not bring forth its result. Yeah, okay, that's what is meant by purification of negativities. Yeah, the karma does not, the karma lacks the capacity, you know, to bear fruit. Yeah, okay, but it doesn't mean that karma has been eradicated.
What took she? That is what I don't do. That the water and do. That the shabba the dambala sope. Namijim and Nubanyamba Chaba Namni, Kinshenda, Chejang, Namijim, Mikulas, Station, the Lokta, the Kondo Jesus, Zumba, Layang, dawa toje bawa de song so sta.
So as it says in the text, in this way, confession, restraint, and so forth weaken the capacity of karma to bear fruit. Such karma will not bear fruit even when it comes in contact with other conditions. Likewise, it is said that anger and the production of wrong views weaken the ability of roots of virtue to give effects. So you know, it's the same with how anger and the development of wrong views, you know, how these two weaken the ability of our merit or virtue to give effects. Yeah, okay. So usually we hear, you know, that, you know, if you get angry or you generate wrong views, it will destroy your merit, isn't it? Destroy your virtue. What it means is that anger and wrong view weakens the ability of your merit, of your good karma, to give effects, which is something positive, right? So that is the meaning of one's merit being destroyed by anger or wrong views. Yeah. It is incorrect to think that it is okay then to accumulate negative karma. Anyway, it can be purified, yeah. You know, so what's wrong, you know? So that is not, it's incorrect to think in this way. Yeah. So it's mentioned here in the text, in the teaching, is that it is much better to not create the negative karma from the beginning. Yeah. So the text says, through confession and restraint, you can purify yourself of negativities without any remainder. Yes. However, there is a vast difference between the purity of having never been tarnished by a fault from the beginning and the purity attained through confession of that fault. For example, the Bodhisattva level says, you can redress the occurrence of a root infraction or root downfall through adopting the Bodhisattva vow. However, it will be impossible to attain the first Bodhisattva level in this lifetime. Further, the sutra gathering all the threads states that even though you clear away the negativities, you will need at least 10 yons to attain the level of forbearance, which is the second of the four levels of the path of preparation.
What in this was that in a material tenas, Maluba Tabi Tony, Statunda Tapa, said Maluba Tabi Tony, do you to me on Zimba, Maluba Tapa Yingi, Lambi Topa Java Lani, Serum to Doa Yimbe, Tambone, Magoba, Beber Chow also.
So we continue with the text. Therefore, complete purification means to completely purify yourself of the arising of unpleasant effects. However, since you greatly extend the time needed to attain such things, such as knowledge of the path, strive not to be tarnished by faults from the start. The Buddha said that for this reason, noble beings or superior beings, yeah, they do not consciously engage in even the subtlest of sin, of negativities or infractions, even for the sake of their own lives. If it was the case that purity through confession was similar to faults that have never taken place, then there would be no need to act in this way. This is also evident in the world. Although an injured hand, foot, and so on may heal, they are different from the ones that have never had an injury.
Example is clear. So, huh? That in a somebody gave it says that you would choose somebody gave the conditions that said, oh, shy, team, but it did you tell that on Danny?
So this particular section of the text concludes with the measure of the attitude of a person of small capacity.
Make your question short.
One statement first. Even though I subscribe to the four opponent powers being able to stop the potency of the negativities accumulated to bring forth its effect. And even though the object they regret and the object of your purification is non-virtue, however, when you are performing the antidote by meditating on emptiness, for example, you bring forth all phenomena. So my question is, how would that also, I wouldn't say purify, but you know, weaken the positive effects from issuing forth its result? When one meditates on emptiness, meditate on emptiness of all phenomena, which includes positive imprints. So even though the regret, you don't regret positive positivities.
Sometimes, yeah. But anyway,
we do not regret that. Also, we do not bring into focus that during the four opponent powers. However, when we meditate on emptiness during the second power, the power of antidote, we meditate on all phenomena. We do not exclude some. Out, right? We include all phenomena, which includes positivities. So my question is, how would that not, once you meditate on emptiness, you are able to like remove the potential of the seed to issue forth its result. You weaken it, all right, and you maybe even completely purify it. So how would that meditation on emptiness, which includes meditating on emptiness of positivities or positive karma accumulated, not prevent it from issuing forth its result?
Basically, can meditation on emptiness weaken the result of virtuous karma?
You saying that?
It's a blunt tool. Even though, yes, we do not focus on positive karma to purify it, because we do not regret it, we rejoice in virtuous karma. But we will meditate on you know, emptiness of all phenomena, that includes virtuous karma.
So remember in the last lesson we talked about the non-objectifying of the three circles. But you know, I mean, you know, when we think about, and there I mentioned that when you reflect on emptiness, it causes your virtue to increase, yeah. It causes your virtue to increase and it causes your non-virtue to weaken, yeah. So when we reflect on the virtuous karmas do not exist from your own side, it causes that the virtuous karma to strengthen, yeah. So in the teachings it doesn't say that it will cause the virtue to become weaker, yeah. But when we reflect on how the non-virtuous karmas do not exist from their own side, it causes the non-virtuous karma to weaken, right? So as I mentioned in the last session, you know, when we reflect on emptiness, the ultimate nature of reality, it causes the apprehension of true existence to weaken. It causes the afflictions to weaken. Basically, it causes the root of all afflictions, the root of cyclic existence to weaken. Yeah. Yes or no? So when we reflect on how the afflictions are empty, when we reflect on how the negativities are empty of existing inherently, it causes our afflictions to weaken as well, yeah. So when your afflictions weaken, their ability to bring forth their effects also weaken, yeah. Right? Agree or not? Yeah, you have to answer. Yeah, you say yes, but how? Yes. So that's why the teachings always say everything arises from emptiness.
So in that sense, does it mean that to realize emptiness, we don't really need all four powers?
To realize emptiness?
We realize emptiness. You don't really need all four powers to purify.
Why? They're not there?
So, for example, you realize emptiness. You have a realization of emptiness. Do you really need regret for every single negative action to purify all the negative actions?
When
you directly perceive emptiness, wouldn't your regret becomes even stronger?
Yeah, but what I meant is, do you need to regret for every single negative actions to purify?
Or you say when you have direct possession of emptiness, do you need to focus on all non-virtue that you have created in order to purify them?
Yeah.
tanda re re na ngo sungu yugo marwa khorwa ta jidang ngo zhi pa re re ngo sungu ta ai me ta che ji sa bi tiba su ka ma thu du khorwa na che kya saram na sa bi tiba su du ti na ta thu du khorwa ta ne re re na jin ngo sungu na ha mo ta
I'm not sure but I don't think you have to remember each and every single non-virtue in order to be able to purify them. Anyway, how to remember?
Yeah, precisely.
but the thing is, when you generate regret, you're thinking, for example, you think all the negative karma I've created in this life, or all the negative karma I created in the past.
Definitely. Yeah, but then how you want to like restrain, so you know, you kind of like have to be pretty specific. Like, I do not want to kill.
So of course, the 10 non-virtue sections is a list. It's not exhaustive. Yeah? It does not represent all the negative karma that anybody can create, right? Oh. But the 10 non-virtuous karmas are the 10 main ones, the top 10, top 10 ranking, the ones that when you apply restraint, you think I will not engage in actions such as the 10 non-virtuous actions.
Another question.
Please go ahead. Put ERP there next time.
Huh?
Nothing.
Okay. You know, for non-virtuous sections to be complete, there's this part about attitude, whereby it has to be with the presence of ignorance, anger, or attachment, right? Yeah. So for virtuous sections, does it have to be accompanied by non-ignorance, non-anger, and non-attachment to be complete?
To be complete, lah.
Yeah, because in the text it says in non-virtuous sections it is under the attitude it says ignorance, anger, and attachment.
You're not asking whether it can be virtue or not, right?
No. Complete. It says complete, right?
Complete.
That's the criteria, right? So for virtuous sections to be complete, does it have to be accompanied by non-ignorance, non-anger, and non-attachment? Very pathetic, no. Hardly any virtuous action.
No, only a good rebirth is attachment. Yeah, I mean the 10 virtuous actions are the opposites of the 10 non-virtuous actions. Yeah. So like the 10 non-virtuous actions, the 10 virtuous actions will require those four things, which is what?
Basis,
attitude,
performance
and culmination, right?
Yeah.
Culmination, right? Culmination. Sounds nicer, yeah.
Culmination.
A virtuous action need not necessarily be motivated by something which is not an affliction. You got it? Basically, most people, their virtuous actions are motivated by by some kind of affliction, but basically with ignorance at its root, yeah, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, especially in this context here, for a person of what capacity? A small capacity. We are talking about the practice of a person of small capacity here, right? So, I mean, whatever he or she does is motivated by ignorance. The karma that causes us to have a good rebirth is primarily motivated or driven by ignorance, isn't it? 就不在这里。
No, I'm just saying that in terms of complete, you know, to complete an action, in one virtue you talk about ignorance, these three afflictions. So for complete virtuous action, whether you have these three or not these three, you can still be considered complete. Because you do have, I mean, for a person of small scope, you know, virtuous action can still be accompanied by ignorance.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right? So, but you still consider as a complete virtuous action. Yeah. That's what
I'm saying. Luckily.
Yeah, if not, it's quite pathetic.
Very depressing. Otherwise, it's very depressing.
And hardly any virtuous actions completed.
No, then. How does a reflection on the emptiness of the virtuous karma increases the strength of that virtuous karma? How? Yes. How does the meditating on the emptiness of the virtuous karma lead to an increase in the virtuous karma, especially in the cases where those virtuous karmas have ignorance as their motivation, as an affliction? Now you want to go Pure Land, right? Wow, bye.
What do you have some time but not console?
Lender the each.
Java divide so you move in the giving God.
You think about it, yeah. What is it that, well, I wouldn't say contaminate, what is it that obscure the virtue? It is the affliction, isn't it? So when you reflect on emptiness, the affliction which obscures that virtue becomes weaker, right? So it becomes weaker, then you have to say that the virtue becomes stronger, yeah?
I don't know. This is for everyone need to think. When you think about the virtues is empty, how does virtues increase? Then you want to check it, then you must have done it, then you should go there. That never seen to come up, that you have committed to a single word.
So I'm not sure, but there's something to think about, but you know, you think about it, the thing that obscures the virtue and obstructs the virtue is the afflictions, isn't it? Yeah. So when you reflect on the ultimate nature of reality, the emptiness of phenomena, which includes the afflictions themselves, the afflictions becomes weaker, isn't it? So the afflictions which obscure the virtue becomes weaker, then you have to say that the virtue becomes stronger. And if you reflect on the emptiness of the afflictions themselves, yeah, the afflictions themselves obviously become weaker, right? If the afflictions are weaker, then the virtue is stronger, no?
I don't know, need to think. Taganashi, Gave Yawala, Rangshi Mabatun, Dogala, Yawa Demazi within the Chun to him. Yawa Demazi within the Chun to Gona, Yawala may be Nimuchun to him. No, this is the Yawa computer to him.
And when you reflect on the emptiness of the virtue, you weaken your apprehension of virtue as truly existent, right? When you weaken your apprehension of virtue as truly existent, you can say that it causes the virtue to be stronger, isn't it? It's not the same, because it's not the same line of reasoning. Because virtue and non-virtue are not the same thing in the first place. Yeah? They bring forth different results, isn't it? Saying.
So, to me, it applies both ways.
To this?
Both non-virtue and virtue, in the cases of non-virtue and virtue motivated by ignorance, the motivating factor is ignorance in the same, isn't it? The basis for the accumulation of either one is ignorance, yeah? So if you remove the base ignorance, both should weaken, isn't it? Because you have removed their base. Why no? A lot of people shake head, but why no? Shake head easy, no?
Because I hear that there are two opposite directions. That means virtuous, let's say, is going in front, non-virtuous is at the back. So you cannot be...
neutral then sideways.
But actually, what I think why contemplation on emptiness will weaken non-virtuous and strengthen virtuous is basically non-virtuous is caused by ignorance. That is where the self-cherishing and the self-grasping exist. So if, upon reflection on emptiness, we know that there's no such thing as inherent existence. So there's nothing really to grasp on, and there's no differentiation between me and them, I mean me and the rest. And because of the purity of truly want to benefit other people or other sentient beings, so it will increase the virtuous action. This is mine.
Increase doesn't mean refer to creating new virtue. No. Whatever you have created, how does the thing that you have already created, how does that increase in power?
Because the thing here is that when we create the virtuous action, maybe say for a bodhisattva, maybe on the 8th ground, while he's still collecting virtues on the first level or second level that time, right? Maybe they have not realized emptiness or whatsoever. So, although they have the bodhicitta, they already have bodhicitta, but they don't have realization or emptiness. So the strength of their virtuous act is actually not to the fullest. It's undermined by ignorance. So by removing the ignorance, the subtlest form of the obscuration, it actually strengthens the strength of the past virtue.
How? That's the question. The question is how?
Because there's no more self-grasping and no more self-cherishing. And he can give it fully with, I think it's a purity, it's a state of mind being totally pure.
But what if it's like our kind of virtue?
Also there, but not so strongly. I mean, it's not so strong because although we have bodhicitta, but we don't have realization of emptiness, so maybe it's still not so pure.
Okay, good. No, anyway, need to think more. Yeah. Anybody have better answer? Yeah, then.
So here, what is the measure of the attitude of a person of small capacity? Okay, the measure of the attitude of a person of small capacity. You understand what it means, right, in English? No. Basically, when do you become a person of small capacity, basically, in simple English, okay? So, yeah, you measure. Okay. Previously, you have had an uncontrived interest in this life. While your interest in future lives has merely been an understanding that follows what others say. You have generated the attitude of a person of small capacity when these interests change places, and your interest in the future has become paramount, while your interest in this life has become merely incidental. However, you must make this attitude stable. Thus, once it has occurred, cultivate it diligently. So for now, for us, our emphasis is on this life. Yeah, we consider this life more important than what happens to us in our future lives. Okay. So when these two switch place, when we consider that our future lives are much more important than the happiness of this life, then you will become a person of a small capacity. So for us, we are not a person of small capacity, because we still put more emphasis on the happiness of this life. We think that the happiness of this life is much more important. The number one important, the happiness in the future lives is not as important. So when it comes to Dharma, so when we have to prioritize, we have to choose, you know, which is more important, we still choose the happiness of this life first, then Dharma comes next, you know, secondary. Yeah. So as such, we are still not even a person of small capacity. Yeah.
No, even not there. No? Whether we're inside there, the small capacity, or not there. What in the shop? What in the shop? That on the knee, that you would chum say that, that shimazo chinish, that said it on the zoro machinish, that shimet on the zoro chinishida, what in the shimazo somma tanch, anita, anishi that.
So because we consider the happiness of this life, the affairs of this life more important, we place more emphasis on it rather than the happiness of the future. So we are not a person, or not even a person of small capacity. Okay, so a person of small capacity is someone who considers future lives as the most important thing, more important than this life. Okay? So when a person, after he or she has gone for refuge to the Buddha Dharma Sangha, is able to then lead his or her life according to the law of karma, leads an ethical life with emphasis on achieving happiness in the future lives, then this person then becomes can be called a person of small capacity.
What in the Asian land, that to die in the name of that to buy my shirisha, Takarasana, that one to Luidang, Longjurgang, that called a prison top at Tinto, that Korwares, Tendon Tundu Nation Wares, or Tindagian to buy you, man.
Then there may be some qualms, doubts regarding the measure of a person of a small capacity, because some people may actually say that, hey, you know, in the Buddhist teachings, you know, we are told to renounce the entire samsara, you know, isn't it? To renounce the entire samsara and all the even the so-called good things in cyclic existence. Yeah, so if that's the case, then seeking a good rebirth is a contradiction. So you got the apparent contradiction. It's like, you know, on one hand, you know, you are supposed to give up or to renounce the whole cyclic existence with all the good things in it, which includes a good rebirth and long life, resources and what have you. Yeah. So then how does wanting a good rebirth, you know, not contradict this? Yeah. So the answer is this. You have to understand that, you know, there are both temporary goals and ultimate goals. Seeking a good rebirth is something that you should look for, but it is not the ultimate goal. It is a temporary goal. Yeah. Having a good rebirth with excellent body and resources and so forth, these are temporary goals, but nevertheless they are necessary to achieve the ultimate goals of liberation and enlightenment, because it is on the basis of having a good rebirth, a good body and resources and so forth, it's on the basis that you move towards liberation and enlightenment. Yeah.
어떻게 돈다니 다 코르웨 두베 다 뉴당 네 아니 코르푼 초바든도 내가 돈도 녀셔레스 어떻게 내게 내가 비타 내가 돈도 녀셔지레스 어떻게 내게 그래.
So this is the answer, yeah. So having a good body, excellent resources and so forth, these are temporary goals.
어떤데 지렌게 아니 초지네 다 루프슨 초바 코르푼 초바 네 푸슨 초바 임바 탐제라 아니 코라 임비 켜봐요 말해서 그러고 딱 탈뚝 있네 푸슨 초바 류 푸슨 초바 롱제 푸슨 초바세도 아니 류 푸슨 초바 산제 그 푸슨 초바 등도 샤야 진짜야 그 코라 말해서 그냥 던든 여셔레스 어떻게니 아니 여와치는 렌제 아이서레
Another thing to note is that not everything that is included that's within high status, such as an excellent body, excellent resources, and having an excellent having a helpers and attendants, not everything is included in samsara. Okay, because the most excellent body is the Buddha's form body. And the most excellent resources are the enjoyments of the pure realms, yeah, and the most excellent attendants are the and this embodiments are retinue, yeah.
어떠신 진짜 양고 양가 레다 코라 인고야 말했 진짜 양고 코 말했어 무슨 렌자센 사과도 다 버진 당부 시디기 진짜 두배 순구요래, 나와 속어 두배.
Yeah. So basically, not everything that is included within high status, excellent body, resources, and attendance, not everything included within this high status is in samsara. Yeah. Right.
What in the risha? What in the risha? What in the risha? That's all. Yeah. Yeah.
I have a little bit of difficulty with the six methods of purifying negative karma. So I basically have kind of two questions. Because it seems to me like in actual practice, we don't go in and start meditating on emptiness straight away. You know, we normally start with we are taught, you know, like confessions to the 35 Buddhas or doing Vajrasattva mantras and so on. And it seems to me like even the meditation on emptiness itself, we actually have to purify to remove obstacles so that we can have a clear understanding of the meaning of emptiness. So, you know, we actually have to purify to be able to do this purification practice, which is the meditation on emptiness. So that's one thing. The other thing is, I would like to just clarify, when it says here in the text, meditation on emptiness, what does it actually mean? Does that person, you know, based on whatever kind of like confused understanding we may have of emptiness, we try to think that things are not inherently existent. Does it mean that the person must have an inferential realization already of emptiness? So I'm trying to clarify, you know, what level does that practice of purification for it to qualify as a purification practice, what is the level of the meditation on emptiness, what level is required? Yeah, so it's two things. Because I'm the thing that keeps on going over in my head over and over again is like, heck man, how to do meditation on emptiness when I don't even really have a clear understanding of what emptiness really means, you know? I mean, based on what we studied under Special Insight, you know, that was real, like, you know, seeing the moon and the stars, yeah? So even having a clear understanding in itself is already very challenging.
Yes.
So it depends on the level of the level in which you are meditating on emptiness, yeah. Because with respect to meditation on emptiness, you can meditate on emptiness with a correct belief. You can meditate on emptiness while having ascertained it already. Or you can meditate on emptiness directly, that is, if you have a direct perception. So commensurate with the level of the meditation you're doing on emptiness, then you will have the different levels of purification. But of course, in order to destroy the seeds of the non-virtuous actions, yeah, to destroy, not just purify negative karma, to destroy the seeds of the non-virtuous actions, you must have a direct perception of emptiness.
Yeah. Okay.
But of course, to meditate on emptiness right from the beginning, that is really difficult, yeah. But therefore, the Buddha taught many other methods, yeah, such as recitation of mantras for purification, and making offerings, and so forth. Through these practices, the person will be able to accumulate the merit, yeah. So, yeah, strengthen his or her own merit first. So as far as I said, these are other methods that are mentioned here, ways in which we can accumulate merit. And while we engage in those activities to purify the mind, merit is accumulated. When as you accumulate more merit, the negativities become weaker, so your mind becomes clearer. So it makes a difference to be able to realize and to move towards realizing emptiness directly.
Well,
if you think about it, the more merit you're able to accumulate, you probably have to say that the non-virtue that you have becomes weaker, yeah.
But do we have to say that or not? Can you say that?
Huh? No, if you have $3 billion and $1 billion, $3 billion is stronger, but your $1 billion is still there. Huh? It's not there.
So you think that you accumulate a lot of merit, your negative karma automatically go down?
Without idea of purification, you just accumulate merit, negative karma go down? Still one billion dollars, right?
You think yes or no? No. When you do this 16 offering to Buddha, you accumulate merit. So when you get married, your negative karma goes is smaller? Huh? No. Wow. That dugares karisena. So now club chairs are sanjali near duguya marvesana.
If I say that your negative karma will become weaker, because through that merit you become closer to enlightenment, aren't you? If you use this as a reason, I say, oh, your negative karma is definitely will become weaker because through having accumulated that much more merit, you're nearer to enlightenment, aren't you? Because if you're nearer to enlightenment, your negative karma has to be smaller, right? Weaker, right? The reason now established.
Okay, we stop here. We think about it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, interesting. Just in case, we are going to start the puja. We're going to start the Pandanamo puja at 4:15 a.m. Okay. We allow 15 more minutes for the glorious goddess to come. Okay, so we finish off with the usual prayers, okay? So,